Begin transmission. Hello, everybody. Yes, it's not an issue if you're watching live. We are actually going live on a Thursday night, an impromptu little podcast for Out of Room Transmission. This is episode 144. Tonight, it's just me and Ben. We had some scheduling conflicts, and if you guys don't know, the behind the scenes works here is I'm the one that has the brains of the computer that does all the work here. So if I'm not available to do something, this podcast doesn't really happen right now. So yes, I'm busy over this upcoming weekend. Our usual Sunday time does not work for me this week, so we're recording a little bit earlier. Milton had some other things to attend to, but he'll be back the next week. But yes, we're talking first and foremost, as we have the last 3 weeks now, is the Bad Batch. We're talking about the Bad Batch season 3, episode 5, titled The Return. And we're also talking a little bit about the news. We have a bunch of little news stories here and there sprinkled in throughout this show. So, Ben, thanks for joining me on this not usual time and place here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, it's always fun doing the podcast, no matter what day of the week it is. It's always great getting on here talking Star Wars with you and Milton when he's on, and anybody else that's in the chat or listening. Like, it's always just a fun time talking about Star Wars, especially when it's good Star Wars, in my opinion. Like, this week was an example of that, and, you know, we'll dive into that as we go along, and, you know, it's just, it's always a nice time talking on here with everybody.
Oh, yeah, it's, I can't wait to talk about the Bad Batch. We're going to talk about the other stories first, but, a little bit of a spoiler here. I really like the episode and really like the direction where that series is going, so it's pretty good. It's pretty good. How was your week? Did you have, I know it's been only a couple days removed since we've last talked, but do you have anything in the in-between Star Wars related you might want to share?
Oh, yeah. I have a really good week in Star Wars, actually. Okay. For like anybody, you know, this is Legends, mind you, so keep that in mind. So it comes from the Star Wars book Visions of the Future, which is the second Hand of Thrawn duology book. It takes place, kind of to set the table, it takes place 10 years after the Heir to the Empire trilogy. And anyways, so there's a story in this book. It's just a side story with Talon Card. Well, Talon goes to a planet to find, you know, this former, like, major smuggler in the galaxy. Like, pretty much Talon Card stole his name's George Cardast. He stole George Cardast's, pretty much his entire crime organization out from under his feet back during the original trilogy era. And, you know, Talon Card basically went to go, like, you know, beg for his forgiveness and stuff. Well, anyways, he gets there to meet this George Cardass guy. And when he goes there, you know, he finds out this guy pretty much just found, like, you know, it's kind of like you're coming into Jesus. Like, the guy's, like, you know, turned a new leaf, and he basically is retired. And so anyways, like, Talon Card's asking him, like, hey, what made you retire, basically? And George Cardass was like, hey, you know, pretty much, 35 years ago before I left my organization, which 35 years prior to him leaving his, you know, smuggling syndicate was basically about 25 years pre-original trilogy. So it kind of, you know, puts it in that pre-OT era. And anyways, so he was telling Talon Card, like, what kicked off a lot of his, like, you know, smuggling ventures and things was him and his smuggling buddies were out running a mission, and they ran into a dark Jedi. Because, like, as a lot of people know, you know, especially in Legends, the concept of the dark Jedi was very common. And anyways, so, like, this dark Jedi pretty much chased him down, and, you know, they had, like, a space fight with him. And then both ships got shot down, the Dark Jedi ship and Talon Card and his cruise ship. And he was telling Talon, he's like, yeah, on this, we got shot down on this backwater planet named Dagobah.
Oh.
And, yep, and that's where I was like, oh, man, I know exactly where this is going. Because I probably haven't touched this Visions of the Future story in probably 20-some years. And anyways, so it clicked with me. So they crashed on Dagobah. They both did. And George Cardass was saying, like, him and his crew, you know, were dealing with this dark Jedi, and they saw this little green creature, you know, Yoda. They saw this little green creature come out of the swamps and behind the trees and stuff, and start engaging in a massive battle with this dark Jedi. So really, you know, if you think about it, when this book released, this is the first time we've seen Yoda. This was pre-Attack of the Clones, this book, I believe. You know, this is the first time we've actually referenced Yoda in combat. And so Yoda, you know, he talked about, like, you know, of course they didn't go into mega detail because I'm sure Zahn wanted to leave it, you know, kind of open-ended. But he said, like, you know, pretty much there was this big display of the Force going on for days. Like, it was a major fight for days back and forth between, like, the Dark Jedi and, like, this other green character. And, you know, pre-fight, though, when George Cardass and his crew crashed, like, he got severely injured and he was really, really hurt. Well, after Yoda defeated the Dark Jedi, which turns out to be, you know, what was in, you know, the Dark Force, you know, that Luke felt in the cave. And so after Yoda defeated this Dark Jedi, he pretty much, like, healed George Cardass over, you know, like, a week span. And pretty much, like, Yoda kind of gave him, like, the second chance to live because he was so injured. You know, Yoda pretty much really healed him. Kind of like, you know, I always have to reference the sequel trilogy, unfortunately. But it's kind of like the Rey healing Kylo thing. Like, you know, or Kylo healing Rey thing. Like, you know, he really, like, brought George Cardass back to, like, full vitals. Well, anyways, so, like, he goes, fast forward, he goes, and, you know, he creates this biggest smuggling organization in the galaxy because he said he wanted to find his, like, pretty much slice of the pie when Palpatine started taking over. And he did that, and then the thing is, it's kind of like, it reminded me almost like something like Indiana Jonesy to a way, this concept, because basically, he said, as soon as he reached the height of his power with this smuggling organization and this crime organization, he started to, like, age really quick and started almost dying. Like, he felt like he was dying. So he said he knew he had to go back to Yoda to try to, like, force him to help him. And so he goes back to Dagobah and he goes back there and, you know, he gets right up on Yoda and is, like, threatening him with a blaster. And he's holding, like, and he's holding, like, a little beck and call, which a beck and call in the Legends, you know, it brings your ship to you.
They have that in the newer trilogy or the new storytelling. They put that in one of the books recently. I think it was Bounty Hunters or something like that.
Yep.
But that's canon now.
Perfect. Shout out to the authors who brought that in. So the beck and call, you know, brings your ship to you. Mm-hmm. So he's threatening Yoda with a blaster in his beck and call, and Yoda just laughs and, like, disarms him and throws his weapons clear into the swamp. and he said Yoda was laughing and he floated in midair, and he said he was making him, you know, making him float and just kick and kick and until he exhausted himself, and then Yoda dropped him and basically said, hey, you know, and this is such a cool thing, because, like, George Cardass, like, this is where he, like, found his big revelation. Yoda basically said, yeah, the reason you started to age and, you know, die so quickly, you know, you're pretty much going against the living Force. Like, I gave you a second chance at life, and, you know, you took it to pretty much go down the dark path instead of the good path of, like, life and the Force and all that stuff. And George Cardass was like, hey, I need to be healed here. Like, how can I do this? And Yoda basically says, I don't have time to do this. You found your revelation and blah, blah, blah. I don't have time to do this, though, because within the next few weeks, here was the awesome moment. In the next few weeks, I have the most important mission in the last 200 years that I'm going to be doing. And, you know, George Cardass didn't know what that meant at the time. And it's cool because, you know, fast forward, it's Luke coming to Dagobah. So this was happening kind of during the OT, like, right before Luke showed up on Dagobah. Like, this dude was there with Yoda doing this stuff. And, like, the cool thing is, this is what I think also I thought of you, Chris, on this part. So Yoda basically, it was like almost like High Republicly, almost, I would say. Almost High Republicly or like a gray Jedi type thing. So, like, Yoda pretty much recommends this guy to go to this planet and to pretty much find these monks that utilize the Force in a different way, like, that are non-Jedi. And like, you know, they live in, it's pretty much literally like Force monks. And, like, they live in, like, you know, like a mountainous environment and stuff. And he has to go find them and whatnot. And, you know, they utilize the Force in different capacities. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. So, like, I don't know. That was just kind of like my, like, week in Star Wars, because I thought it was just a cool, like, I love in Star Wars when they put in stories like that really connect And then, you know, that was, like I said in our group chat, even that was kind of like the first time we really saw Yoda fight. And then even for people that wanted, you know, we always like the continuity in canon or legends, but in the second Zahn book, Dark Force Rising, Luke goes back to Dagobah because he has like a, you know, a feeling, and he goes there. So the key, what's the Lost Fleet called in that trilogy?
Katana Fleet?
Oh, Katana Fleet. Okay, Katana Fleet. So here's the fun fact about it. So when Luke goes to Dagobah, the important thing they were looking for at the time was, you know, like, you know, Luke goes there having this dark feeling, and he finds a missing blaster and a beckon call that ends up, you know, being used for the Katana Fleet. So like, it's cool. So it's cool, kind of like Zahn built that blaster and beckon call in, even though this Visions in the Future book takes place after, you know, after the Zahn trilogy does. So like, it's just cool. Like, it's just cool seeing like the way Zahn built out kind of, you know, his post episode 6 era. And you just included things in like that. And I figured that would be like a interesting little storytelling for like you and for our listeners, because it's like, for me as like a Star Wars fan, legends or canon, I always appreciate like those stories, you know, that kind of connect and like wrap around the original trilogy to a degree. Like that, like, that's why I love the Certain Point of View books so much, because they're like, you know, it's like, oh, right there, you know, technically like off screen, blah, 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 you know, something's happening. And this is kind of one of those Certain Point of View stories where it's like, oh, so like right before Luke shows up a few weeks prior, like this mega crime syndicate leader goes to Dagobah and is threatening Yoda, and Yoda just basically makes a fool out of him. You know, it was such a cool story. And then like even Talon Card like confirms it to George Cardass like in the present. He's like, yeah, you know, that was Luke. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I didn't know who it was. And I, you know, even after I like, you know, found my new way in life, I still was searching to like figure out who that was. And like Talon was like, yeah, you know, Luke told us about that. Told us about Dagobah, blah, blah, blah. So it was just cool, like, getting like those connectivity pieces, even with it being legends, it's just cool seeing things connect around the OT and connect through like, you know, multiple books over multiple years.
Yeah. I mean, jumping off of that, there's a couple points I want to kind of branch off of, but you got the one story, just hover on the idea of a smuggler and the underworld thriving under the era of the Empire, because the Empire has this tight fist closed around the galaxy, but things get through. People need supplies. People need illicit goods. And that's when that is a golden age for the bounty hunters, for the criminal syndicates, as we've seen just in this time period in between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Very fruitful for anybody that is going to deal with these kind of shady characters, right? We have an entire bounty hunter book written by Ethan Sachs that literally just goes on a deep dive through that. So yeah, it's really cool to see, like, you know, how maybe other authors might have cherry picked from legends, like for that character, the George character. And then looking at Yoda from a couple different vantage points while he's at Dagobah, there's been a couple current storylines or into current continuity. As you had mentioned, I was going to mention, unless you already did, the whole thing with him there from a certain point of view, Empire Strikes Back, when he's talking about the Chosen One essentially being Leia, and then Ben, or might have it was Ben or vice versa, whoever came up with the idea, was, you know, Force Ghost Ben talking with Yoda, and he's saying, this is who we're waiting for. It's like, no, it's Luke. And he's like, oh, the whiny guy, basically. Like, huh, what, how? You know, so that's fun. There's also a storyline, speaking of criminal syndicates, with the whole Crimson Dawn, the whole Crimson Reign series with Kira and her subordinates that are going around the galaxy. One of them ends up at Dagobah and finds Yoda there before Return of the Jedi, right? This is the in-between Empire of Return of the Jedi era in the current comics. And she basically, this character ends up like getting her hair color changed because she goes to the dark cave and it like physically changes her body. like with her hair coloration becoming like white, and like she looks more wizened and old as she like comes out of the cave physically. It's like this really interesting storyline. I wish I could remember more in detail, but the idea that Yoda is still there on Dagobah, and there's even the Yoda series itself. There's a Yoda maxi series, bunch of different authors, Kevan Scott. You got Jody Hauser, I think, who was on, or Mark Guggenheim, about Yoda just there in between Empire and Return of the Jedi, recounting his events. I think it was to Obi-Wan or somebody, and he's reminiscing, but he's there right before Return of the Jedi. So there has been a lot more storytelling currently that have gone into that, which is really neat. But yeah, it's always the best when you can get a mastermind architect of a storyline. You know, we got that going on with the High Republic, but it's a many person team, like a 10 person team working
I
on
mean, this
that.
was just Zahn,
Yeah,
basically,
versus
back in
just
the day.
like what happens when you let some singular person, I guess, kind of like Chuck Wendig, kind of sort of did that with the Aftermath trilogy. Like they just gave him free rein to be like, hey, just go crazy with this. It's probably not going to be mentioned in the movies, but go carve out your New Republic timeline, or at least the beginnings of it, or something.
Well, see, that's the thing with like Zahn is he has several books. Like, it was kind of like your we all like joke Filoni verse or whatever. It's like the Zahn verse basically back then, because you had the Heir to the Empire trilogy, you had the two Visions of the Future, Spectre of the Past book, you had there's another one called Survivor's Quest that takes place after this duology. And then you have Outbound Flight, which is the book that takes place, in the prequel era, because that goes over the whole stuff with Joris Sabaoth and all that stuff. And I'm gonna eventually listen to that one because it's just a nice little connectivity to round out the Zahn stuff. But it's just cool, like you said, just they pretty much gave him rein, like, hey, build out your stuff. And like Zahn pretty much laid the foundation for Star Wars Legends, pretty much, like with his trilogy and then these books and stuff. And it laid the groundwork for the characters. And the cool part is, like, even though he was laying out his stuff, like, so for example, in this book, like the A plot storyline is Luke and Mara. And it's cool because when Luke and Mara are talking, she's like making snide remarks about Luke, pretty much like teetering, like playing around with the dark side, when he was messing with his Jedi Academy, in the year in from the in-between time between the Zahn trilogy and the duology book. It's like a 10-year gap. But the cool thing is, like, with Zahn, even though the Jedi Academy trilogy was not his books, he still referenced all the main events from those three books in these books. So it's like, it's cool, even though it wasn't like, like, say canon is now, where it's like, hey, we want like all this continuity, and like we're cross-checking the books just to make sure like things are flowing. Like Zahn, still kept it flowing with, like, he knew, okay, these three books take place right after my trilogy. I'm gonna like respect, where they went with the story. And he references, like, all, and writes it into Mara and Luke's character in these books, even though he didn't even author those books.
Interesting. Yeah, just the whole EU, the whole Legends sphere is just it's awesome that that stuff just exists. And I'm getting to the end of my current book that I'm reading. It's called Fever Dream by George R. R. Martin. Yes, the writer of Game of Thrones himself. Yeah, I'm reading one of his books that came up prior to that. It's about vampires, up and down New Orleans, up and down the Mississippi River, going through New Orleans in the 1850s with steamboats and all that. So it's a really great story. Once I'm done with that, I might actually be ready to finally jump into the Legends chronological order. I have just about everything I need in the Old Republic timeline at this point, going up into the prequels. So I've got a lot of good content to read through. And eventually, I guess 30 years from now, I might eventually get to the post New Republic stuff at the rate I'm going. And one last quick thing I'll mention about my week is I seen Dune Part 2, and I know that the book predates Star Wars, but I just had to call it out. I'm like, yes, we're dealing with another chosen one. We're dealing with Paul Atreides being the prophesized man that will save the planet and all this kind of notion. So I couldn't help but just imagine, like, oh yeah, maybe George got some stuff from Dune. I don't know if that's ever been, spoken about, but I mean, there's a lot of stories in myth. I feel like myth is always about Joseph Campbell.
It's
It's always
always,
about the hero, right? The
yeah,
chosen one, per se.
yeah, it's always the chosen one. 'Cause like if you think about it, even like with George with Star Wars, you have him like taking so much inspiration from like different religions and cultures like Buddhism, Christianity, Catholicism, whatever, governments and things like that. And even in the different religions, you have like the one central figure, and no matter what religion it is, you have your one central figure or in every story, it's always like the chosen one. You're not gonna watch, I don't know what's even okay, even on a fun level. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy the movie Moana, but okay, Moana's the chosen one of that movie. You're not gonna have it be about some side character. It's Moana's movie. Like, of course she's gonna be the chosen one. So like, I feel like the chosen one is such like a common concept in Hollywood, even in just animated things like that,
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the movie. I definitely should have watched part one more recently because even though I watched a 5 minute really greatly with detail presented video about the part one recap, I still felt like a couple things went over my head, but the ending of that movie really got me hyped for the third movie, which is not been officially announced, I don't think, but I mean, come on, this movie like doubled, but it doubled its box office the first one had in the first weekend alone, so I think it's safe to say we're getting the third one from Denis Villeneuve. But yeah, I think we're ready to start the show proper. 22 minutes in, the classic Outer Rim transmission where we just go on for almost 30 minutes without actually getting to any of the topics at hand. But here we go. As some people in the chat are very surprised, yes, we don't normally go live on Thursdays at 9 p.m. prime time, but I had some things pop up for this weekend, so we had to kind of pull an audible. And I was fortunate enough to at least have Ben join me in short notice for this podcast tonight. But yes, normally, everybody, if you're watching now, don't expect us to come back here the same time next week. We're usually recording every Sunday at 8 p.m. Nope, sorry. I'm so flustered now. We're usually recording every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern Sundays. And you can always download us after the fact if you can't watch, just like Dark Nerdy Gonzo, who usually can't join us live. You can always watch us after the fact and always leave us a like and a comment, and we'll do our best to respond to those. And you can always listen to us on any podcast service like Spotify, like Apple Music, and please give us a review over there. So getting into things that released this week for Star Wars. It's not officially out yet, not least for a couple hours, but the Star Wars Unlimited trading card game is coming out tomorrow. You bet that I'll be playing that at my local not comic store, my local wargaming hobby store called the Wargamers Guild in Yardville, New Jersey. So if you're anywhere near there, I think I have a couple viewers that I've met that actually live near me. And if you want to play Star Wars, you know where to find me. I'll be playing that tomorrow night. But yeah, go ahead, support your local gaming stores first and foremost. Really cool card game. Talked about it last week. Showed off some cards last week. I actually have a video on the channel right now you can check out about me going through three different booster packs and showing you guys a bunch of cool artwork. So check that out. I'm super, super hyped, super jazzed about that one. We also have two comics released this week. We had The High Republic issue number 4 and Star Wars issue number 44, which are very, very good comics. Ben, I don't know if you watched the recap or if you watched me and Ben talk or me and Matthew talk about it last night, but currently in Star Wars, we're in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and they think now is a good time to put Lando Calrissian on trial in a lead up to attacking the Death Star in the rebellion's most, important moment. They're going to take the time to put him on trial because, to be honest, it was a pretty bad thing. He sells out the Rebel Alliance to Jabba the Hutt with this very crucial intelligence from a droid that could possibly be used against the rebellion to basically clear his debts to Jabba. So now Mon Mothma, Crix Mandeen, Admiral Akbar literally has him in a holding cell, and now they have started a tribunal for Lando Calrissian. And by the end of the issue, Mon Mothma has been kidnapped, and it's because of some attorney, some Better Call Saul-esque attorney that Lando has allied himself with to get him out of this jam, has kind of gone a little bit crazy. And he doesn't know that she has done it, but it seems like this attorney of Lando's has set up the hijacking or the kidnapping of Mon Mothma, because that is the only possible way to get him out of this situation, because he's admitted to this whole thing of the crime and all this. And I'm going in a lot more detail than I normally do when I talk about what comes out this week, but it is pretty freaking interesting. And I'm talking about it with Matthew every last night. We were talking in depth about it, but yeah, I just thought I'd clear you guys up on what the heck is happening in the comics these days.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'll say for starters, like, yeah, if anybody's wondering, yeah, definitely go check out Chris and Matthew's streams over on the Star Wars Underworlds channel, because like, you guys always do a really good breakdown of, you know, the comics and stuff, because I, you know, a lot of times I'll like listen to that when I'm working out or whatever in the evening, like doing cardio and stuff. So like, you know, it's a nice way just to kind of keep up with some of the comic stuff going on if you're not reading it every week. But yeah, for like the story, well, that's a little wacky for me, because it's just like, it's like kind of time and place. Like, we're going to squeeze in a little trial here. Actually a big trial, because this would be big since it's like, you know, Rebel Intel. But yeah, a big trial like this, right when we're dealing with all of these other issues, the rebels were defeated in an empire, all these things. And like, I don't know, it's just crazy. And you would think, even like, don't get me wrong, like, Lando had this happen plus like the whole Vader stuff and Han and Carbonite stuff, etc. But like, you'd think like Leia would like pull some strings on this one, just because like, you know, Lando did end up kind of helping her out of that situation. But I don't know, it's just really interesting to hear, like, I don't know, to me it just kind of like screams like, man, this is like a really squeezed in story. It sounds like it'll probably just be end up being like a fun, like end up being a fun little adventure or something. But I don't know, I'll just say interesting is my description of that.
Yeah, it's the thing is, this storyline is going to go on for another 3 more months. So it's you know, every month you get one additional issue. I think this is a 4 issue arc. So for me, when I first learned that this was happening, I said, this almost seems like, you know, the Star Wars comics group is perhaps maybe treading water as they try to like wait for some weird reason to like hold things up to get the Return of the Jedi, because me and Matthew sound like broken records every week. We're like, just get us to Return of the Jedi already, guys. It's been 3 years our time, and we still haven't gotten there yet. And there's a hope that Star Wars issue 50 could possibly be the last issue before Return of the Jedi, because Charles Soule, the writer, has confirmed or has said on his like newsletter that 50 is going to be a big, big number. It's going to be a very big issue for Star Wars. So it's like, maybe that could be it. And if that's the case, that would be, I think, maybe next year or something.
Maybe they'll finally address the Battle to Nab. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe like that happens, because like, that's a funny thing. I forgot to even throw that in there, my week in Star Wars. Even in Legends, like in this Visions of the Future book, like when Lando and Han are talking off to the side, like they've referenced it, and I'm like, oh man, give me details. And then they continue on the conversation, and I'm like, oh, come on. Like, so even in Legends, it's not really like described, and it's like, man, I want to know what happened, you know? Like, just,
yeah.
Legends, canon, whatever, like just give me some story.
My speculation is this story has a good possibility of tying into that. I mean, this is a story focusing on Lando Calrissian. Star Wars is a flagship title that is more of an ensemble story, but it's been very heavily in the last several issues have been very heavily tied to Lando Calrissian and Lobot. So I think what we're going to see is Lando's going to end up helping rescue Mon Mothma from these hired people that have kidnapped her, and that'll tie into the Battle of Tanab. Maybe they'll like run to this Tanab planet, and then they'll have to fight, and that's the Battle of Tanab, and Lando saved my life, and now you're off the hook from being thrown in prison or thrown out the airlock or whatever they wanted
to
do.
You jumped
to
the rank of general.
exactly. So there you go. It's longer than I think I've ever talked about any Star Wars comics on the channel. But it's more of a free-flowing conversation tonight. But we are going to get into some of the news. And one of the news stories, we're going to start off right off the bat, Ben. We were talking about this one. A lot of us are hyped. I think a lot of you in the chat will probably be hyped. We have 1 week until the Battlefront Classic Collection comes out. It's not one, but both Battlefront games in one collection. Incredibly awesome stuff that includes, like, deleted stuff. Or not deleted stuff, but, like, bonus stuff that didn't come to every platform, right? You get, like, Jabba's Palace. You get Death Star, Heroes versus Villains. And they put out a nice YouTube video that showcased every feature. And I got really excited when they announced that the split screen mode is coming, because I have a nice size 72-inch OLED TV. So that's going to be looking real nice on that TV. That's all I got to say, especially with the real estate space to have two players playing on that at once. Oh, it's going to be glorious. So yeah, I just want to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Oh yeah, I'm so excited. Like I said, I sent you that trailer. It's so awesome. We're a week away. We have that plus the online capabilities. You have all the, like you said, the split screen capabilities to play with, like, your friends, just like, you know, the classic couch gaming like we used to do back in the day. So it'll be a lot of fun doing that, playing, you know, like I was talking with you in the chat, you know, the Galactic Conquest mode in Battlefront 2. You know, it just takes so long to play through, which is not a bad thing, you know. Because every single planet on the galactic map has a space mission. So you know, you have to defeat the fleet. Like, so if I attack, like if Chris is the Empire and he's guarding Endor, or he has the Endor controlled, if I'm the rebel fleet, I have to defeat, you know, his spaceships first, his space fleet first, which, you know, when you go into battle in space like that, it's a full blown, you know, head-to-head space match, you know, fighting in space. And if you defeat them, then you have the chance to even go to Endor to actually fight on the ground to see if you can beat them to, you know, to take over Endor. So it's just cool they have that. Like, and then, of course, all the basic features, like, you know, getting credits to unlock heroes or reinforcements or extra health or whatever. And, like, I don't know, I'm just so excited for the game. But the trailer just amped it up that much more today. Because you talk about classic. They brought back, like, one of those old classic, like, 90s, 2000s video game announcers for this trailer. And, I don't know, I just thought it really brought back those, like, good nostalgic vibes. And I'm like, all right, bring on next Thursday. I'm already ready for it.
Yeah, and I just uploaded a video about another remastered game this morning. My thoughts on Dark Forces Remastered are on the channel right now, so check that out, because I literally just played that game and now I'm getting to play another remaster game next week, which is just like the onslaught of just great Star Wars gaming memories. And yeah, I cannot wait. And it is only March, guys. It is only the third month of this year, 2024. We know we're getting Hunters at some darn point. I don't know when. And we know we're getting Outlaws. That's been confirmed. That's still coming at some point this year. So we're starting off the year in a bang. We're probably going to end the year in a bang. I would imagine that Outlaws at this point is probably going to come in the fall. I was hoping it would come out by now, but that's okay. Take the time to finish the game. Make it good. But yeah, it's a good time to be a Star Wars gaming fan. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a really good time for Star Wars gaming, just because it's like, you know, you have all those titles and it's nice there's a good variety of Star Wars games. You know, you have Dark Forces, you have, which is a first person, you have Battlefront coming out, which is third or first. You have you know, Outlaws, you have Hunters, you have all these things. And it's just, it's nice there's like a good variety to them. And I just think it's like, it's a nice time to be a fan, and especially like with these remastered games, specifically. Like, it's nice they're only $30 versus, you know, paying like a full $100 game price or something for a lot of games nowadays. So it's just a really exciting time. And I feel like, you know, I'm probably speaking for Milton as well. I'm sure all three of us will probably be playing Battlefront here in the next couple weeks, just because it's like, hey, it's back and it's back online. Like, the online servers are back. So it's going to be a really good time. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks, and then I'm going to end up picking up Dark Forces at some point as well, to play through that, because I'm also like, you know, even though it's digital, I'm kind of like collecting the Star Wars games, at least on digital. Like I have like the Jedi Academy games or whatever that are on Xbox. I have Commando, things like that. So I'm just kind of slowly, you know, if I have a spare, like, you know, $8, $10 or whatever here and there, I'll buy one of them every now and then, just to, like, you know, add them to my collection to have like more Star Wars games to play and stuff in my free time. So,
all right. Yeah. We're going to go through my collection right now. I got my Steam page pulled up. So right now I own Star Wars Battlefront 2, Star Wars Dark Forces Remaster, Star Wars Empire War Gold Pack, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I love that game. Star Wars Dark Forces, the original, Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast, Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Republic 2 Sith Lords, Republic Commando, Rogue Squadron 3D, I didn't even realize I have that. Oh, I have Shadows of the Empire too. Look at this. Squadrons, Starfighter, Force Unleashed 1 and 2, The Old Republic, TIE Fighter Special Edition, X-Wing Special Edition. Yeah, that's the games I have, everybody.
Those are good ones.
So many games that I haven't played literally half of those.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, I was looking because I'm like, oh, Dark Forces was so fun. I have the second one I've never even played, and I started looking at it. Dude, it's one of those games from 1997 that uses the full motion, like, cutscenes. Like, they're not actually cutscenes. It's like they actually filmed live actors doing the scenes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, you got a live actor for Kyle Katarn. I think somebody said there's a live actor for Mara Jade or somebody in that one.
Oh, dang, that's awesome. Yeah, I want to be able to tell you one way or another that game, because I haven't played that in years.
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
So, oh man, it's a good time. I don't want to get started on anything because we got Battlefront next week, and I got this unlimited game I'll be playing. We'll have to
once Bad Batch wraps up, and I mean, I guess we'll be rolling right into Acolyte. But whenever we get some downtime, and I guess it'll be months from now, probably this fall between Acolyte and Skeleton Crew, you know, we'll have to. We should do like a whole, you know, gaming podcast, just like maybe going over like all these fun Star Wars games we played this year, and like the nostalgic games we're looking into getting, and like, you know, it'd just be a fun, I think a fun one, especially for like our viewers too, because like everybody loves Star Wars games.
Oh yeah, it's the bread and butter of Star Wars. How could you not? Oh man, we got a lot of stories to talk about. There's another one that broke recently today, earlier today. Something I've been very curious about. We have another High Republic audio drama. This one's called The High Republic Tempest Breaker. This is coming out December 3rd. So before that, for The High Republic, we had Tempest Runner. Then in Phase 2, we had The Battle of Jedha. And this one's going to be written by Kevin Scott. And as you all know, these are acted by several actors, not just one narrator. This is a full, like, movie for your ears, if you want to put it that way. So this one's coming out. Great image of Avar Chris, Lorna D, and good old Keeve Trennis. So looking forward to this one. By December, we're going to be starting to wrap up the High Republic in general, believe it or not, because it will end in the spring of 2025. So very cool that this got announced, because that was the one puzzle piece missing for me for Phase 3. It's like, how do we not have an audio drama? We've gotten one from every year in the last like 4 or 5 years at this point, from Dooku Jedi Lost to the Afer one. So this will be the fifth one. I really enjoy listening to those. I know you and Milton are big audiobook guys, but yeah, definitely these audio dramas, they kick butt, man.
Oh yeah, the audio dramas, I mean, I highly recommend them. Like, I haven't had experience with the High Republic ones, but like, you know, if anybody wants a sample even of what an audio drama is kind of like, you know, you can just go on YouTube and look up, you know, any of the original trilogy movies, A New Hope, Empire, or Jedi, you know, and just type in audio drama. And like, they have the original audio dramas from like, you know, the 80s and 90s or whatever from those. And, you know, even back then, you know, they had multiple actors in them. I mean, I'm pretty sure like Mark Hamill, I think Mark and Carrie both are actually themselves in those, and Anthony Daniels, and then I don't think they got Harrison. But, you know, they had some of the actual, you know, people from the movies in those books. So it was just cool, like, you know, just to give our listeners, like, a sample of kind of what an audio drama is. Like you said, it's like you're listening to a movie versus, like, you know, a normal audiobook, like I mentioned earlier, like Visions of the Future. It's just Mark Thompson doing it, which he does a fantastic job. But, like, you know, it is really cool when you have, like, literally different actors doing the different voices for them.
Oh, yeah, it is something special for sure. So, yeah, keep your calendars marked for December. If you're a fan of High Republic, if you're a fan of audio dramas, there you go. All right, moving on to the next story here. This one's also really cool. We have Obi-Wan Kenobi and Andor heading home to Blu-ray. So I'm looking at the article on StarWars.com as I collate most of my news from the official source there. These look beautiful, man. These are steelbooks, and the artwork is artwork we've never seen before. Made just for these, I'm pretty sure. Like, as much as I didn't really like the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. I mean, I'll take that back. I liked it. I didn't love it. But man, this steelbook looks really good. Like this the whole pose of Obi-Wan. I love with the hood up, with Vader there, Leia in the background with him in hiding. Then we have Andor, my favorite show in the last couple years. Easy. And speaking of Dark Forces, I'm bringing it back full circle. He's holding the Briar pistol, which is the first weapon you have in Dark Forces as Kyle Katarn. So I love that detail. I don't know if I ever pointed it out. But yes, that is a cool connection to good old Dark Forces. But not only are these just, you know, great 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays, but these are coming with a lot of extra features, Ben, which I don't know if these are on, like, Disney Plus you can watch. But for instance, I'll run through the list for Obi-Wan Kenobi. We have Duels of the Fate, Obi-Wan versus Vader. Deborah Chow, Ewan McGregor, and Hayden Christensen examine the lightsaber battles of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. Then we have the Dark Times villains uncover the lore of the Deadly Inquisitors and Darth Vader's iconic look. Then we have Designing the Galaxy. Say hello to Leia's lovable sidekick, Lola. Then explore the new planets of Star Wars Galaxy. And finally, they have a director's commentary in this? Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Join director Deborah Chow for an exclusive audio commentary on the action pack for now. Damn, that's probably worth the price alone because, I've been missing those commentaries. Man, that's awesome. Yep. All right, so going over Andor, we have Ferrix Part 1, Imperial Occupation, Tony Gilroy, Kathleen Kennedy, and Diego Luna discuss the series origins. Oh, that's going to be great. Aldani Rebel Heist. Join this shoot in Scotland with character spotlights, rebel training, stunts, a VFX breakdown, and more. Oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. Coruscant, Whispers of Rebellion. I just love the sound of that. Explore the stories of ISB agent Dedra, Senator Mon Mothma, and spy master Luthen Reel. Narcana 5, One Way Out. Uncover the Empire's penal system and the prison Stark look, get to know Kino Loy, and view VFX breakdowns. Ferrix Part 2, Fight the Empire. Tony Gilroy, Diego Luna, cast and crew reveal the making of the season finale. Yeah, that is awesome. I really can't wait for it, especially the Andor stuff. That sounds great.
So it sounds like what they did for both of these things, which I love, for one, that they're bringing these things to physical media because, you know, I love all this digital streaming stuff, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, it's always so nice to have the actual physical media. But, you know, when you were describing all this stuff, you know what it really sounds like they did? It sounds like they made, you know, we've said it for how long now? Hey, where's the Star Wars the gallery for, like, a lot of these things? It sounds like, you know, this could be, like, maybe their selling point for, like, these, you know, getting people back into buying the home media. Like, hey, you know, we're pretty much going to put the gallery stuff kind of on the exclusively on home video like they used to back in the day for, like, the prequels and stuff. Like, so maybe that's what this is. Because, like, you know, especially, like, the way you described the Andor stuff, like, that really felt like the gallery, like, the way you were describing each section. So, like, it's just, like, maybe that's going to be the selling point for Star Wars physical media now is, like, hey, yeah, you get the movies and stuff, that's cool, or the shows, that's cool, but, like, you get all these extra, you know, behind the scenes things. And you know, the diehard fans love those behind the scenes things. I mean, like, you know, we've all heard Milton talk about it so many times on here, but yeah. like the prequel era has, you know, just god tier like amounts of like hours and hours and hours and hours of extras. And like, you know, you can't beat that. So I think that's going to be like a major selling point moving forward for Star Wars physical media.
Yeah, do you own the Mandalorian season 1 and 2 on Steelbook Blu-ray? Because I'm wondering if they have the same treatment with. I doubt it, because it seems like Filoni and Favreau are so protective of anything around those Mandoverse things.
I don't because my view on like that is like I'm just waiting on the series to complete, though, I think.
Yeah.
To buy it, like, because I want to buy all 3 seasons like at once or something, or like, you know, that sort of thing. So like, I'll probably end up getting Kenobi, you know, even though I'm not a big fan of Andor, like my completionist in me will have to have it. So like, I'm going to just wait until the second season is out probably to get, you know, both of the collections, or, you know, who knows, you know, the only thing when it comes to like marketing and media and stuff is like, you know, when the second season comes out, are they going to release like a 2-pack or something?
Yeah.
So like, oh, so that's the only thing that makes me a little cautious. Cause my problem with it, of course, like, you know, we didn't know about like a firsthand example of this. We didn't know about Clone Wars getting its final season, you know, years ago. And like back in probably 2013, I bought the full Clone Wars box collection. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I got it right there. Right over there.
And then, yeah, I'm going to say mine's sitting right over there. And then they released the new season. I'm like, well, dang, now my box collection is kind of ruined because, you know, I'm going to have to go buy the new box collection.
I don't think there is one, though.
No, I don't think there's one either. I've never seen one because, I mean, if I would have seen one, I probably would have strongly considered getting it
Dude, I got a bone to pick with Lucasfilm, all right? All right, Lucasfilm, listen up. Where's my copy? Where's my copy of Star Wars Resistance Season 2? Darn it. I've been waiting years for this thing. And it's the one Star Wars series that is not on physical media. I don't care if it's not that great, all right? I want it for a completionist fan. Just, all right. And if I say it that way, it's like, wait, we didn't get Book of Boba Fett yet. Are they skipping right over Book of Boba Fett? Come on, guys.
Yeah, see, like, I'm definitely a completionist. Like, even though there's a lot of things I don't like in Star, or like, or not don't like as strong, because, like, even though, like, I complain about a lot of Star Wars things, like, even though, like, for example, I don't like The Last Jedi at all, really, but it's still better than, like, not watching Star Wars. So, like, I still have that movie, but, like, you know, just, like, I just have to have everything because it's just my completionist in me. And, you know, like you said, you don't have a Book of Boba. And just, like, I just want them... You know what I really want them to do, actually? This is, like, my pie-in-the-sky wish list. Even though it probably would be, like, $150. Give us a Mandoverse complete collection of all the shows once it's all done. Like, a big Mando Season 1 through 3, Book of Boba, Ahsoka Season 1 and 2, you know, like... Skeleton Crew, like, give us a like complete Mando collection. Like, I would love that. You're muted, Chris.
Yeah, we have. It was bound to happen. I hate it. I did so well. I got 48 minutes in without muting myself. He's Dark Dirty Gonzo putting us up a good point. Where's Star Wars Visions? While you're at it, where's Tales of the Jedi? While you're at it.
Tales of the Jedi is a really good example.
Where's last season of Clone Wars? There's a lot of things that they... And just think about it. That's free money for Disney, man. That they could just print money. You know, those hardcore Star Wars fans will buy anything they put on home release, especially with the way things are, with how skeptical people are with, oh, is my show going to be here or is it going to get willowed where it just gets vaporized? You can't even buy it anymore. So there you have it. One final thing that's worth of note. If you look at Obi-Wan, it says the complete series. So I think it's putting it to bed that we'll ever get a season 2, which is, I guess, like when I first watched season 1, I said on here probably, I said, yeah, I don't need a season 2 anyway. I think it ended good enough, you know, as a story. Oh, yeah. What are they going to do? How could they top Obi-Wan versus Vader that was hinted at in A New Hope? You know, they're going to just run the risk of souring the character, perhaps, if they over-dilute him or something, you know? So,
Yeah, I mean, that's the only concern about, like, you know, like overexposing a character like that is, like, if you do it in a way where the fans don't respond to it, then you're in trouble, basically. I mean, look kind of, you know, one of our most beloved characters, look kind of what happened with Mando season 3. You know, we're all rolling with Mando season 1 and season 2. We get to season 3 and we're like, okay, that was something. You know, that was not exactly what we were expecting. So, like, you know, you don't want to get in a situation where you're just, like, kind of, like, spinning your wheels, like, you know, maybe not in a terrible direction, but in a direction that's, you know, a lot of people are just kind of, like, lukewarm on, where it's like, okay, what's going to happen next? And I feel like that's kind of what happened with Kenobi, where it was like, you know, the show wasn't trash, as Milton would say. The show wasn't trash, but it wasn't amazing. It was just like, you know, all right, that was fine. But it's like, you know, if they would do another season, I'd be kind of cautious about it, because it'd be like, okay, we can't go back to back fine with this. We have to go fine and then really good. So, like, that's the only problem when you get into, like, you know, expanding stuff, whether it be with the shows or the movies. Like, you have a chance of diluting things or making things worse. Like, you know, like with, for example, with the upcoming, like, Daisy Ridley movie, like, that could go really, really sideways, or it could go really good. You know, it could potentially make the sequel trilogy better. Or on the flip side of it, you know, if things go sideways, it could, you know, continue to push the sequel trilogy in a direction where Disney does, or Lucasfilm doesn't want it to go. So it's just, that's always the risk in filmmaking. It's always a double-edged sword, where it's like, you have the chance of really good or the chance of not.
Yeah. Yep, that is true. And our final story, I promise you guys, we'll get to the Bad Batch. Hour later, it looks like we'll get to it. We have an update from Disney Parks. We are getting a new addition to Star Tours. This was teased to us actually back at Star Wars Celebration. I was in a room doing the Parks panel, and they're talking about, oh, we got a new thing coming out that's based on one of the new things we have on Disney Plus. And we get it. We thought about it. This was probably pretty likely. We're getting the Peridia kind of sequence from Ahsoka there at Star Tours. It's going to involve, and they actually have, if you look on YouTube, it's around. They actually have an official kind of preview of you flying, weaving in and out of the Purrgil, the space whales. It looks really cool. But not only that, we're also getting transmissions like these. So I actually was on Star Tours quite recently when I went to Florida over there in the summer. And they have, like, different characters. Like, it might be, like, John Boyega, you know, Finn or Rey or whoever, that kind of intros you into the storyline. So they actually have, like, the actual characters in costume. And they're actually going to include Cassian Andor, Din Djarin and Grogu. And, of course, Ahsoka will now be possible people to pull your interior adventure. But yeah, it's interesting because they say with these additions, you'll now have an opportunity to experience one of more than 250 storyline variations aboard the attraction, including a visit to the planet Peridia from the Ahsoka series. That's pretty cool. This is the first update to Star Tours since Kef Beer was introduced with the Rise of Skywalker back in, I guess that was like 2020 or something, probably at that point. Yeah, so this is going to be debuting on April 5th. Oh, I forgot to mention April 30th is when we're going to get the Blu-rays that we were just talking about.
Mm.
But it's cool. I mean, that's the great thing about Star Tours, is that ride will never get old, because as long as Disney and Lucasfilm keep pumping out more live-action content, you're just going to keep adding to that overall, you know, massive amount of options and variety. And I really liked it. Like, I remember I got some of the best ones I think I could have gotten for prequel lists. I mean, I got the Battle of Kashyyyk, but it was actually the Battle of Kashyyyk, I believe, in the Afterbath trilogy, because there was actual, like, scout troopers and Wookiee, like, resistance, like, in the Rebel era. It's like, dude, I've never even seen this in any of the movies or anything. This is crazy. And then we went right into the Battle of Hero, or not the Battle of Heroes, but the Battle of Coruscant. And it was intense, man. It was super intense, just like weaving in between the Venators and the different separatist battleships, and you got all these droid fighters and everything. It's just like absolute chaos, and the entire time you're just like rocking back. It's a simulator, yeah, but it really is like the best simulator you could possibly imagine.
Oh yeah, all I've heard is like really, really good things about it. Like my my cousin who listens to our podcast, he's a big like Disney person, like Disney Parks fan and all that stuff. And he's gone to Star Tours so many times, and he always has such like a good time with it and stuff. And like you said, you know, it's always, you know, it's just like it's like worth it for like a Star Wars fan to go to. So, you know, it's great they're adding like Pridia into it. And that'll, you know, that kind of shows you the direction too, where they're thinking of going like marketing wise as well. Like, you know, it's like, it's probably good to like angle a lot of this stuff toward the Mandalorian era, because, you know, that's what we're going to be getting the next few years. Like we're not getting the Dave movie probably until 2028. So, you know, we got another 4 years of Mando related stuff minimum. So like, you know, they might as well lean into it the next 4 years.
Oh yeah, definitely. So,
and I'm gonna grab a drink real quick. I'll be right back. So give me like 30 seconds.
Oh, no worries, no worries. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is you got the parks, which are another arm of Star Wars. We always think about the movies. We always think about the shows, the games, everything we talk about, comics, books, right? But the actual parks themselves are so well done, so well done. It's one thing to watch and play, but to be a part of the Star Wars galaxies is something special, and it's one of the big benefits of Disney buying out Lucasfilm. And they've always had this agreement since this, I guess, the 80s with this ride, Star Tours. But the idea that now it's like, okay, we have the best, you know, people in the world working on these rides that are working hand in hand with Lucasfilm as a part of being, you know, owned by them. So that to me is it's just awesome. Yeah, give us more movie content, maybe throw an Andor thing in there eventually. Throw something animated in there. Let's see the Siege of Mandalore in live action. That would be something.
Oh yeah, I would love to see that sort of stuff, you know, in live action. That would be really great. Gosh, I'd use my Obi-Wan Jedi speed to get that water. but yeah, I mean, I don't know, that all that sounds, you know, I don't know. I feel like Star Wars, you know, with this all in mind, I really do feel like Star Wars overall is like, you know, when you hear about like the parks and like the shows and everything, like, to me anyways, it feels like Star Wars, I think, is kind of heading in a good direction. I would say, like, overall, you know, like, you know, the shows are, you know, they're picking up. I feel like they're getting, you know, like, more clarity. Like, Dave Filoni has his position. We have the games getting more, you know, good vibes about them, whether it be the Fallen Order trilogy, the games, or, like, the, mm-hmm. you know, the nostalgic games. And then you have, like, the park side of it with, you know, with the prettiest stuff coming up, or even like the physical media side. Like, so to me, it's nice just like seeing Star Wars head in a good direction. Cause like, you know, for so long, it kind of felt like, it's like, where are we going here? And then now it's like, okay, it feels like they're, you know, somewhat on course. Like, hey, we're on cruise control. Just, you know, just moving down the highway, just at a nice pace. Like, you know, not too crazy. It's just a good pace, I think Star Wars is on right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And speaking of good pace, we finally got to it. An hour later, we're talking about The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 5. You guys have been waiting for this one. It's called The Return. Yeah, and it means a lot of things with that title. But the biggest thing is the return of Crosshair to The Batch, right? We left off with kind of an uneasy kind of feeling of, oh, yeah, you know, Crosshair is there, but he's also committed a lot of crimes and a lot of just almost unconsolable sort of things that is he going to be able to make up for that? So I thought this episode did a great job of that relationship between Hunter, especially, and Crosshair. Going back to the planet, returning back to the planet that was kind of his being born, reborn again, if you will, into like the good guys, kind of, because that's where he kills the Imperial, the snow planet. We got a lot of great action with a creature. I actually like this whole thing with the worm, and it was funny because the day before I had just seen Dune, so I'm seeing this going, that connects pretty well. So yeah, what would you think about this episode?
Really good. I mean, really impressed. Like, overall, I feel like there's such a tone shift, or a quality shift between this season and then even prior seasons. Like, don't get me wrong, we've had really high moments in the prior seasons. But, you know, some of the, like, if this episode would have been in, like, season one or two, you know, it would have been, like, probably twisted around and we would have had some, like, weird thing with Sid going on. So, like, you know, it's nice. I feel like Bad Batch, you know, unfortunately, like, the show has found its footing, I think, in season three. Like, but if we would have gotten this, because this to me, I was talking to my best friend about it today. This to me feels like kind of Rebels, you know, Rebels Clone Wars-esque, where like this quality feels like Rebels and Clone Wars era. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if we would have had 3 seasons of what we're getting this season, this would have been right there with Clone Wars and Rebels as like the top echelon of like good Star Wars shows. So like, it's nice that they're getting on track with it. And to me, I talked to our friend Hannah from the Race Site about this in her chat yesterday. And it's like, you know, it's so nice with this show where it's like, okay, each week I'm not going into it, you know, white-knuckling it going, oh man, I hope this is good. You know, fingers crossed, like cross every finger, do every good luck chant ritual you can think of. Please let this be good. and now it's just like, oh, I'm actually excited to wake up and watch the show in the morning. Like, it's not like, you know, in prior seasons when we got in some of those lulls in the show where it was like, oh man, this feels like a chore sometimes, you know? And now it's just like, hey, you know, at a point, you know, I mean, in like season two, I got to a point where I was just like, I'm just going to watch the show on like Friday or Saturday because I'm just not motivated to watch it. You know, I'll just watch it before the podcast. Ah. Like, you know, just because it was like, what's the point? I mean, heck, even like our co-host Milton, you know, sometimes he would, you know, when we were doing podcasts back on Friday nights, he would watch it Friday at like 5:30, right before the podcast at 7. So like, you know, now we're all watching the show pretty much on Wednesdays because it has us hooked. And like, this is another episode. It's another really good, impressive episode for Star Wars fans because it has a story that means something. It's not just some, hey, Sid wants you to go pick up an extra part for a car or something, you know? It's actually meaningful to the Bad Batch crew, to Crosshair himself, to Omega, to the trust of Hunter and Crosshair, and overall just building the morale of the Brotherhood back together, like when Crosshair gets his armor back. Like, so I just really, really like the direction where they're going with this show.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about the whole armor situation. That's right.
Yeah, because remember Wrecker said we didn't throw it. You know, yes. I never wanted to throw it out when you left.
There was a moment, and I forget, it might have been like midway through the episode, that actually got me, I wouldn't say choked up, but it got me like feeling like emotion that I haven't really felt from the show. And it was just like Hunter just like talking to Crosshair when they first kind of like make up. I don't know if it was like something about making mistakes or something, but I'm like, this is so profound for a animated series to be getting to this level of magnitude of emotional resonance. And this is stuff you see in live action. This is stuff that we don't get gifted to be in animation, because a lot of the time the animation is aimed for a much younger audience and they're just like, this is all action-based. It's all just fun for kids. But no, this is definitely more mature. Really loved that. We get to see Echo back, which was really cool. We get to push the story forward because now they actually have the scanner that has Tantus information on. That's why they have to go to this place to get that information. We're seeing callbacks to last season with that falcon or that vulture thing. I like that as like, oh, is this like an omen? Because we get to see Crosshair like missing a lot. He's got a 50%, and I'm sure they probably said this earlier in season one, like maybe he's like 99% like accuracy. Now he's down to like 50-something%. And it's kind of telegraphing, like, I really don't think things are gonna end well for him. And the idea is, Star Wars has a bad knack for this, I'll be honest. Like, you get redeemed, but then you die. You look at Vader, you look at Kylo Ren, Ben Solo. But it's kind of nice now seeing what happens to be to Crosshair, because he's getting a chance to redeem. Like, he's kind of redeemed a little bit, and now he's like reintegrating into the group. And what does that look like? We don't get to see enough of this in Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean I agree. Like it's cool seeing him like reintegrate after causing all that mayhem and pretty much evil. I mean, we've seen him do some evil stuff in this show. So it's cool just seeing him like head toward that direction. 'Cause like you said, we didn't see Kylo have to deal with it. We didn't see like Vader survive and have to like go on trial or something. We didn't see like these type of things with the other good guys or other guys that turned good. So like Crosshair, it's cool that they're turning him in this direction. I love the armor touch to like really signal him going back with the crew. And the thing is, like you mentioned, like I think it is like kind of an omen, like them mentioning his 53% shooting. It just makes me wonder, it's either going to go in two directions. Like the accuracy issues are going to continue, or it's going to be like your Rocky thing where he slowly builds up his accuracy over the next 8 weeks, 7 episodes or something, like to the finale. But to me, with Crosshair, I don't know. I feel like they're really setting up his character to make a sacrifice at the end. Because I feel like you're going to get a moment probably in like the finale, or maybe even like one of even the prior episodes if they want to really surprise us. I could easily see a moment of like Crosshair saying like some final saying to Hunter or something or whatever, to Hunter and Omega, and then he like sacrifice himself to like save them or something. Like I could see that happening as like a full roundabout circle of him being good. Like I could easily see that because I don't know, I just feel like it's heading that direction because I don't think they'd kill off Hunter, I don't think, or like Wrecker maybe. So I feel like Crosshair is the most likely one to kill off just because he was already a villain.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And think about the effect that losing Tech has had on the crew. And Omega's, still developing, still very much an early teen. And the idea that, if she loses somebody else, it's like, what does all this loss do for such a young soul? And how does that affect them later on in life? And I really do believe that we're probably that we should, at least I would like to see, like, another series that has Omega as part of the crew in the future, in the original trilogy, maybe post Return of the Jedi or something like that. That could be interesting, seeing how she gets along with all of that, with all of that. But yeah, I mean, what did you think about the entire oh, well, first of all, I want to go back to, because it looks like Pabu is now their base of operations. The tropical planet. It's pretty cool seeing them hanging out, just being, good buddies. So I really like seeing, and we're not gonna have, hate to say, we're not gonna get a lot of moments like that anymore. I feel like they you're gonna look back and be like, oh, that was such a sweet moment seeing these guys hanging out, sharing a meal, but crap is about to go down. We're on episode 5. We have less than 10 episodes left at this point. So, stuff is
Two-parter
gonna.
next week.
Yeah. And we were talking about a couple weeks ago how we kind of touch on this a little bit about, hey, this week, last week, there were single episodes. We
Oh
weren't
yeah, okay.
expecting much out of
Yep, okay, yeah. So
them.
this is my philosophy for all of our sports fans out there, or just any fans that know like wins and losses in general for records. So like this is my view on it. Okay. I view kind of the milestones for this season as like a milestone in sports. Like, so we had our opening premiere, it was 3 episodes. So, we all consider that a win. Good job. And then we had, 2 episodes in between, leading up to another multi-part episode. So, like, my view on it was like a sports analogy where it's like, okay, we got to go 1-1 at least. We got to have one good episode, one bad episode, or not even bad, one good episode and one not satisfying episode. Because that's enough to tide us over till, you know, the two-parters. And, you know, if you go 1-1, that's fine. Like, you know, it's not great, but it's fine. Like, I don't want, you know, I didn't want to go into it and be an 0-2, having two bad episodes back-to-back, and then go into the multi-part episode and be like, okay, this has to be the best thing ever, or we are going to be spiraling now. So, like, the fact that there, you know, in my sports world of it, I would say, you know, we're 2-0, we have back-to-back win episodes, so we're kind of, like, going into this two-part episode now with House Money, because it's like, okay, we're going in with good vibes on the show so far. So, like, we're hitting pretty good. We're, like, 5-0, 4-1, I would say. So, like, we're doing good. Mm-hmm. And, like, even after this two-part premiere, I view it, like, the same way. Because I think the finale is 3 episodes, I think, maybe. Or it might be 2.
It's 1 episode.
Is it 1? Oh, okay. God, I was thinking it was 2 or 3. But
yeah, maybe it's a super long episode, though. You don't know.
But, you know, we just got to, like,
yeah.
in between the multi-part episodes, like, between the 6 and 7 and then, like, the finale, because I don't know if we have any other multi-parters.
We do.
But, like, we do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like...
There's another 2 weeks of single episodes after next week, and then we go to another two-parter, and then I think it's 3 episodes, single episodes to close out the show. I believe that's...
Okay, so, see, so that's perfect, then. So, so for everybody listening, so we're going to view it this way. Okay, we're going into this next week. Hey, you know, we're doing good on these records. Let's knock out 6 and 7 good. And then the next 2 weeks is my same philosophy. Go 1-1. Have one good, one not satisfying at minimum. As long as we get that, that's all I care about. I just don't want back-to-back, you know, I don't want back-to-back infestations from Bad Batch Season 2.
Oh, man.
Because, trust me, that broke my heart on this show. And I'll never forgive it for that. So, so we just can't have back-to-back shaky episodes. As long as we just get one, and then okay. Or even if we get 2 good, that's even better. That's a bonus. So, like that's my thing with these shows. It's just like that. That's why the vibe of this show is so good right now. Like, even if you get online, like, Twitter's always so, like, you don't know what you're gonna find on Twitter.
Nope.
But Twitter. It's always kind of like my litmus test sometimes, even though it's kind of a shaky litmus test. But, like, if you see everybody on Twitter or if you see Bad Batch trending and it's all good stuff, it's like, hallelujah, it's doing good. And this week, it was. Like, when you clicked on the Bad Batch hashtag and just swiped through really quick, it was mostly good feedback. So it's like, it's nice. Like, the Star Wars fandom right now is in a really good place.
Yeah, it really is. It's nice to see that everybody's on the same page. Everybody can be excited about Star Wars, not bickering, going back and forth. I haven't really seen any negativity at all of the Bad Batch this season. But, you know, getting back to the episode at hand, there is a moment when Crosshair is, like, picking up Mayday's helmet, the guy that was, you know, leaning on him as he was trying to get through the snow, and incredible moment, incredible. And there's that music that's playing, and he's like lifting up each helmet like it's a solemn type of, you know, procedure, lifting these helmets off the ground, putting it on. It's just like, oh man, I just love this show, because it's like, I wouldn't think that we could get a show that doesn't really use lightsabers like this, right? You look at Clone Wars, yeah, there's Jedi everywhere. Look at Rebels, there's Jedi. Okay, Resistance actually didn't really have Jedi, so I can't give it that much. But, you know, because then you look over at the other side of things. EA Games, literally the other day, basically said, oh, we canceled the Mandalorian game because it won't have Jedi. We have to have lightsabers. But Lucasfilm has proved time and time again, especially with Bad Batch, that you don't need lightsabers, the Force, or Jedi to have a really good, strong story. I mean, yeah, I know it's not your favorite. Andor, same thing for me. Right? But it's like different strokes for different folks, and you got different things going on with Bad Batch, which are just hitting home with everybody, it seems like. And I just, people, you know, like the Force, every Star Wars fan seems to be digging this thing. It's because, yeah, they've taken their time, that's for sure, to get here at this point. We had to go through some rocky roads, but Yeah, could you imagine if every episode was kind of like this from season one and season two? This would be better than
If,
Clone Wars.
yeah, if this show, like I said, if this show was this good, had this much gravity and everything, yeah, it would be right there with like Clone Wars and Rebels, like at their highest
I
peaks and stuff,
think,
because
yeah, I don't know, man. I'm at the point I was thinking about this. I think this could be better than Rebels. If this sticks the landing this season, it could actually be better than Rebels.
See,
In my opinion, I've
I have to see how it ends, because I don't know. I feel like one season of a show can't save two mediocre seasons, but that's just me. But yeah, like I can see where people would say that for sure. 'Cause like Rebel season one is definitely weak, in my opinion.
Oh,
Like it is.
really? I think it's
I
strong.
oh see, I think that's definitely the weakest season of that show.
It's the tightest season. There's not a lot of room for them to go off and do these little side adventures. Like, just talking about it makes me want to do a rewatch because everything is so
True.
direct. It's like it's a shorter season too, so they have like less episodes, so it's more of a direct through
I guess it has
line.
been a while since I watched Rebels, so I guess I will retract that statement for now until I rewatch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't know. I just feel like I like when I watch this show, like I mentioned earlier, it's just like, man, I wish season one and season two was like this, because like that's why I think the show had such a rocky reputation. Like I went into this season kind of white knuckling it, like going, all right, please let this be good. Because, I went into the premiere, I'm not gonna lie, very, very nervous. Because if the premiere was not good, it would have kind of set the table where it was like, oh man, this is gonna be a long 3 months or 4 months. So it's nice that the show's paying off like week to week to week. It's paying off in terms of like the story, like we mentioned with Crosshair, with Hunter in this episode, with even Crosshair's getting a personality. Like I loved his little bit with Omega at the beginning when Omega was arguing with him about like going out there, and she's like, why don't you think I can go out there? And he's like, you're a kid. So like it's cool just like kind of getting some personality in Crosshair when he's like always so like robotic and serious and all this stuff. You're getting a little bit of comedy, chuckle comedy out of him. And that's kind of like the Star Wars comedy we need, where it's just like, it's kind of like, your apology accepted, Captain Neil, like that sort of like little ha, just Star Wars funny comedy. So it's just nice getting to see that personality between Crosshair. And I thought one of the best parts of the episode for sure, though, in my opinion, like sure you have the cool stuff that happens with him, whatnot. I like the armor and stuff, but like for me, the best part of the episode was like the realization between Hunter and Crosshair when they were having their argument privately. When Crosshair basically calls out Hunter and is basically like, "You're just mad that I helped her out, and it wasn't you basically being the big hero to save the day. Like you don't like that I'm the one that saved Omega." And like, that was such like a good, even though Hunter really didn't say much and he just kind of like took it, like
Yep.
that was a good kind of like character, like introspective moment for Hunter, where Hunter's a reflective moment for Hunter, where he's like pretty much thinking to himself like, oh crap, like this is actually why I'm mad at this dude, is because I'm pretty much jealous he's the one that saved her, and like I really, really liked that moment. I thought it was so good just because of that
Yeah.
reason, where it was just like, hey, it's a good realization moment for Hunter, because nobody's really challenged Hunter on his crap basically through the show. So it's cool just kind of like seeing Crosshair call him out and be like, and Hunter doesn't protest it because he knows it's true.
Oh yeah, and the idea of like him getting into a physical altercation, like literally pushing him, like dang, the tensions are so high. Like we haven't really seen a lot of this in Star Wars, in my knowledge, of like close brothers just going at it, like about to brawl. It was like, oh wow, this is intense. Things got really tense, and I felt it. I felt that emotion, the pent up anger, and the going back and coming back with different comebacks, right, and different things. I so good. So why is it elevated higher for me
I
than the
think,
medium sometimes?
I mean, the only time I can really think of like a physical altercation between like brothers, like of course you have your big stuff, Anakin like turn to the dark side, but you can't really count that. But the only time we've really had like actual non-force user drama, is on screen anyways, is Han and Lando in Empire Strikes Back. That's about it. Like, you know, Han hitting him. Like, that's the only time you really have like that sort of anything. But like this was just such a good moment, I think. And then of course, you know, you have the big creature, and then they have to deal with all that stuff. So it's just like, I don't know. I really liked it. That was definitely my favorite part of the episode, just because, you know, it was a good moment for like Hunter to like self-realization, and it was a good moment for like Crosshair, because like it was Crosshair, I think, also on another level too. Like it was Crosshair's moment to like, you know, he's coming to the good side of things, like, because he's like, hey, I'm trying my best here to like help you guys out. You know, you're treating me like crap. I'm being a good guy. And you know, what else am I supposed to do? And you know, you're not letting me help, or you're not accepting me just because it's a you problem and not a me problem. Like I'm, you know, sure, I, you know, I'm working on myself with all these issues that he has, but he, you know, he's still good at this moment. Like Crosshair's still good. He's not going to come in here and start killing the Bad Batch. And you know, Hunter's not giving him a chance. So it's just cool seeing, you know, him just pretty much put Hunter out to dry on, you know, on all of his beliefs, basically. So I really enjoyed that part of the episode a lot. I thought it was one of the best ones.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Third week, and we got another Jurassic Park reference, everybody. You know me and these Jurassic Park references. Man, Brad Ralph, Jessica Corbett, you guys are just killing it with these Jurassic Park references. It's like the electric fences, right? It turn off the electric fences. T-Rex comes out. Same thing, we got this snow worm. And then on top of that, you have Wrecker going down into the bunker, restarting the power, like he's, you know, just Ellie there down there doing it. It's just like, this is great. This is great stuff. That is such a callback to one of my favorite movies. I gotta love it. My two favorite franchises coming together yet again for a third week in a row. Man, let's go for a fourth one next week.
Yeah, I love the Jurassic Park references. I thought of that too when I was watching. I was like, oh, I bet Chris is gonna reference Jurassic Park on this. Like I did when I was watching it, because I when he when like Hunter when Wrecker did that, and then like, you know, just the way it was getting laid out in that episode, it really felt Jurassic Parky. So yeah, I love when Star Wars includes references like that, especially because like we mentioned, like, you know, Lucasfilm had such a hand in Jurassic Park's success, so it's just cool seeing you know, seeing it still get referenced to this day, you know, literally 31 years later now. So I love
Yeah,
it.
you're right. You're right. Well, unless you have any other specific points to bring up, I think I've covered all of mine and we can wrap it up and give this one a score and get out of here. And everybody watching live and after the fact, throw your scores in the chat. We would shout them out if you do. We'd like to see them as well. But yeah, you know, going over this one more time. Yeah, I think we have just. Oh, I want to give a shout out to Batcher. Love seeing Batcher. I love this little dog creature that was pretty terrifying when we first seen him there on Tantus is becoming more lovable. I think just what they do with like the jaws of this creature, right? The face, it's happy. You see it at one point running around in the background as there's a conversation going on between the characters, and it's just like running back and forth. It's just great. And like seeing how much that Crosshair has taken to this little creature, like it's always by its side. It's so nice to see. It's great. It's great. We don't get a lot of like dogs in Star Wars a whole lot, but this is the
Well,
closest thing to it, at least.
see, that kind of like ties into even my last point about Crosshair, you know, being like, hey, I'm a good person. Like, you know how they always say, like, even in real life, like, hey, a lot of times dogs know if someone's like a good person, you know, like, you know, and that's kind of like what's going on right here. Like Batcher is pretty much like the first one out of the Bad Batch to be like, hey, like, you know, other than Omega, of course, but, you know, it'd be like, hey, this guy's a good guy without even really saying it.
Yeah, so there you go. As far as me, I will say, really like this episode. Again, we're pushing things forward. Were they able to extract the intel they wanted to? No, but they have a better idea, I think, of at least now where it's roughly maybe located, and maybe Rex or some other people can have more insight and they'll eventually find it. Yeah, keep talking about it. Crosshair, Omega. We haven't really been getting a lot with Wrecker. It's just because a lot of that was last season, but Hunter and Crosshair are on the forefront of the story. Seeing Echo is great. I'm really hoping we see Rex soon. And going back to the planet, really following back and seeing, the place where Crosshair is essentially reborn, seeing things come to a head. Overall, if I were to give this one a score, I'm going to have to give it a 9 out of 10. I really think this one really hit the message home that if animation could make me start to feel things, then it has excelled more than I could have hoped. And I'll leave it at that. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have to agree with you. I think the episode overall was really good. It's like I mentioned earlier, hey, we got another win, and now, instead of me hoping for next week to be good, I'm excited. Like, that's the important thing. Like, as long as you just keep rolling, like, hey, excited. Like, hey, I'm interested. Like, that's the important thing. And, like, this episode pushed the story along. It pushed us along as fans to make us be interested in next week, especially the fact that it's a two-part episode because, you know, how many... I mean, look at last year, or last season of of Bad Batch. You know, going into the mid-season stuff with Palpatine, you know, we were kind of on the roller coaster there where we were like, okay, let's hope this mid-season stuff goes good, because if not, we might be heading off the cliff soon. And now it's just like, hey, we're going into the mid-season stuff actually excited, and it's cool because now we're getting into like the Dark Waters section of the show, because, you know, like reviewers and people like that only have they only have the first eight episodes. So we're going to be heading into the back half of the season soon in a couple weeks. So we're going to be just going in totally blind, which is nice, because I would rather not know about the back half of a season more than anything anyway. So it's exciting times. So overall, with that in mind for me, I have to give it a 9 out of 10 as well. I thought it was a very good episode.
There you go. And we'll get Milton's thoughts, I'm sure, on this episode as we break down episodes 6 and 7, Infiltration, Extraction, I believe are the titles. So, what could that possibly mean? What are they getting, or who are they getting out of, where they need to get them out of? Because Omega has been rescued, and I would have thought that would be what those episode titles were when we first got the list.
Extracting Sid.
Oh, gosh. Glad you had to bring her up. I'm very surprised we haven't seen her yet, though, but that's interesting. I would think we're going to see her at least one more time before the series is over, but maybe not. Who knows? But regardless of the fact, yeah, you guys can tune in next Sunday. Not this upcoming Sunday, but we will be back recording at our usual time on Sunday the 17th. Oh, wow, that's St. Patrick's Day. So go get your green beer, get your corned beef and cabbage, and join us for a nice Sunday evening on
wear your Yoda gear out.
There you go. Wear your Yoda gear out. We'll be going live 7 p.m. Eastern time then. And there, in the meantime, you're gonna see a couple more videos coming out for me. Definitely one of them will be another Star Wars Unlimited trading card game video, and I will have my comic book reviews and whatever the heck happens in the next week and a half or so. Just find it on YouTube. You're already watching my YouTube channel, which means you're probably already subscribed. And if you aren't, what are you doing? Just please give me a hand and subscribe to the channel so you'll be part of a cool Star Wars positive community. And you know, when we go live, because sometimes like tonight, it goes a little haywire, but we got the content out to you guys. It's the main thing. Ben, where can they find your content at?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram, at RealBenMaynard. I'm always on there talking about Talking about Star Wars mainly and fitness mainly at this moment, like on that's all I do on X, and then on Instagram a lot of times I'll share just a lot of nostalgia stuff. Anybody that grew up in the 90s or 2000s, definitely check me out on there, because I'll just share some good funny reels that are like nostalgia throwbacks, like clips from this, you know, old shows, or like funny toy, like, you know, things we saw back in the day at KB Toys, like just different things, you know. I follow all those fun nostalgia pages from the 90s and 2000s, and it's a good time on there. So yeah, you can find me there, and then you can find Milton at MiltonWeber7 on X. He's always talking about like sports and just funny memes and stuff. And then you can follow him on Instagram at Milton7Weber, and he's always posting his workouts. Like, he usually posts his workouts 2 or 3 times a week, or he'll post like recipes, like, because he's always into like healthy recipes and stuff. So he'll post those like on his stories on there. So yeah, you can find his stuff there as well.
There you have it. So for Milton, who couldn't join us, for Ben, for I, Chris, aka Star Raptor, this was Outer Rim Transmission 144. Thanks for joining us. See you next time. May the force be with you and transmission.